This is James Throgmorton, and today I want to look at a biblical subject, discuss a group of people, some nations that exist today and that have existed in the past and go forward into the future. To begin, I want to look in Revelation, the 20th chapter, because we're going to go in reverse order on this, and I want to look at something that's going to happen after the return of Christ and after the millennial reign of Christ. In Revelation 20 and verse 7, it says, "And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number as the sand of the sea." God's going to have to deal with them. They're going to attack, actually, Jerusalem again. You know, people have a tendency to think that once Christ returns, that all the world is going to be absolutely under his control and nothing bad is going to happen. Well, that's not the way it's going to work. Now, going into the details of that, you know, we'd have to do that sermon on several other days because the subject we're going to talk about is Gog and Magog. But the point is, and it's evident from what we read, that Gog and Magog are not going to buy into the kingdom of God. They're going to be jealous of what God has established, and they're going to go up and surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It was a simple thing. This is their last hurrah. Now, I might mention that all these people will get to come up in the great white throne judgment and have their opportunity, but they've never been able to accept God as their ruler, as their God. Now, that should tell us a little bit about their identity. And we're going to look at their identity today. In fact, that's the purpose of this sermon, is to identify them. Because you need to know who they are. And then, of course, in verse 10, after this, the devil is cast into the lake of fire. Then we come to the great white throne judgment. Of course, the devil will be dealt with a little later, that we, again, won't deal with that today. If we turn back to the book of Ezekiel, we will again find Gog and Magog mentioned. Two chapters of Ezekiel that deal with Gog and Magog. Chapter 38, it says, "Now the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus says the Eternal God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." Now, who's this talking about? And when does this take place? You know, Bible scholars and Bible know-it-alls have a tendency to take what's in Ezekiel and apply it to what's in Revelation. That's not true. It's two separate events. I'm not going to read through all of it today. It's very evident that it is two separate events. One takes place at the end of the millennium. The other one takes place during the millennium. And that's pretty easy to see. I'm not going to read every verse of this today, because this is a little bit of an abbreviated sermon, because I want us to identify Gog and Magog so that we can study more about them in the future. And so I want to get this firmly in our minds today. It says in verse 10 of Ezekiel 38, "Thus says the Eternal God, On that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan." He's talking to Gog and Magog. They're going to say, hey, those people down in Christ's kingdom, in the kingdom of God, you know, we thought we were going to be number one in the world. 500 years ago or 100 years ago, how much time has expired between the end of this age and the whenever this event, Gog and Magog, happened, they're going to say, we should be number one, not those people. Those people down there keeping the Sabbath, annual holy days, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and all these things. Our pagan gods are better than those gods, and we certainly do not want to be forced to join them, because by this time, most of the world will have joined with Christ. That's something that people misunderstand, is that when Christ returns, he's going to start with Israel. The restoration of the nation of Israel is the central theme of the Bible ever since they were divided with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. It's the central theme. They're going to have slowly seen all the nations of the world join themselves to God's government except them. And so they're going to take action, and this thought's going to come to their mind. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful dwelling, people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, neither bars nor gates. You know, there's not anybody on the face of this earth today that lives without walls and gates and protection of their borders. You know, Cindy and I just got back from Israel, and interesting to see in that nation what they've had to do in for building walls, barricades to protect themselves from the Palestinian and the terrorists. And they've done a really good job. They've done a good job of that. They can't stop everyone, but they've stopped a lot of it. So it's a peaceful and pretty safe place to live from time to time. Verse 12, to take plunder and to take booty and to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods and who dwell in the midst of the land. Evident. They want what somebody else has. Now we're going to skip down to the 14th verse. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this says the eternal God, on that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north. Okay, tells us out of the far north. We actually, back in the book of Daniel, before the return of Christ, see that trouble is going to come from the north to bother the king of the north. And I don't want to confuse anybody there, but I think we've been through that before, that at the return of Christ, there's going to be two main world power, the king of the south, the king of the north, and then the trouble out of the north. So actually there's a total of three, and so that gives you the area of which they come from. And of course, without trying to confuse the issue, if we look in Revelation 16 and Zechariah 14, I'm not going to turn to these scriptures, but we see here the Battle of Armageddon. Everybody's familiar with the Battle of Armageddon that's going to take place prior to the return of Christ. In the Battle of Armageddon, people from all nations are going to come down. So Gog and Magog will be there. They'll be represented. And, you know, if you just look at the book of Revelation in the 16th chapter, it doesn't tell you how the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. You have to go to other parts of the Bible to get that. It's a perfect example of what it tells us in the book of Isaiah of how to understand the scriptures, how to understand the truth. Precept on precept, here a little, there a little, with a stammering tongue and another language will I speak to this people. And so it's first rule, the first lesson of Bible study is to see what the Bible says about a subject, not just one verse, not one chapter, not one book, but everywhere. So to understand about the Battle of Armageddon, you have to look at several scriptures. You have to look at throughout the Bible. And so we're doing the same thing with Gog and Magog. So during the millennium, Gog and Magog is going to attack the kingdom of God. You know, the Lord's Prayer, everybody says, "Thy kingdom come." Christ's kingdom is going to come to this earth. I talked about that in the last sermon that I put online about Zionism, chapter 39. Let's try to get a little picture of this during the millennium. Gog and Magog apparently didn't learn the lesson at the Battle of Armageddon. You'd think the Battle of Armageddon would end it all and nobody would try to fight God or fight God's people anymore. But that's not what's going to happen, because man, of and by himself, without God's intervention, will not accept God's way of life. Will not do it. So they're going to not only come at the end of the millennium, they're going to come somewhere in the millennium when Israel is dwelling in unwalled cities. And like I say, we don't have unwalled cities now. We've got armies and air forces and radar and everything else protecting us from outside attack. You know, all the security at the airports and all those things that you have to deal with when you travel. In chapter 39, it says, and I'm just hitting the highlights here because my subject today is not what takes place in Revelation or what takes place in Ezekiel. It's merely to develop a timeline and then to go back and see who Gog and Magog, who are these people? Where did they come from? Why are they so at odds with God and the people of God? And again, in chapter 39, I'll finally get there. "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." You know, I've read that several times. Apparently they don't get the point yet. "And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the foreign earth and bring you against the mountain of Israel, the nation of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand, and you shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and your troop and the people that are with you, and I will give you to the birds of prey, every sort, and the beasts of the field to devour. You shall fall on an open field, for I have spoken, says the Eternal God." And then in verse 6, it says, "I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Eternal." And apparently this fire is to come on the ones that are back home, because this seems to be on their where they dwell. The ones that come into Israel will be killed in the open. They'll fall in the open fields. And they'll be, the birds and the animals will devour them. If we read on over in the chapter, we'll see that it'll take, I believe, 7 months to bury the dead, to dispose of them. And so you can see, if you read through this, you'll see that it's two separate events. The last events in Revelation, he destroys them with fire. In Ezekiel, it's not... He does use some fire, but mainly they just fall. Their bows fall out of their left hand and their arrows out of their right hand. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis. and see if we can figure out who Gog and Magog really are. Let's go back to Genesis, actually the 9th chapter, because here's where God develops. Let's use a term here, because if I use one term, if I use the R word, people will cry racist. Let's use the family word. Noah was a family. He had three sons. The sons had wives. He had a wife. They survived the flood. All humanity that exists today came from this family, if you believe the Bible, if you believe the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe it, you don't need to be listening to me anyway. And so from these three boys, their families develop the families of humanity. The whole human race is made up from these families, and you can see that. If you're honest, you can see that. And it tells you some things about them. Now, some things that, again, people would think, well, it's not politically correct to say, but, you know, God said it, so I'm going to read out of the Bible, and if anybody doesn't like it, I guess they can just deal with God. And we sort of know what happened with Noah and his boys, and Ham's descendant son did, Noah's grandson. And Noah said, after Ham had done this, "Cursed be Cana." Well, Cana had done it. "A servant of servants he shall be unto his brethren." You know, there are certain peoples of the earth that have found themselves with that lot. I'm sorry, that's a fact. That's a fact. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and Cana be his servants, and God enlarge Japheth," that's the other son, "enlarge or multiply." So Japheth is the race, there I use the word, of people that are most numerous, "that they may dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Cana be his servant." I'll tell a little story. Something that happened to me back in the 60s. I was probably already keeping the Sabbath by this time, but it was before I was actually in the Church of God. And my brother-in-law and sister lived in Memphis, and my sister had two young children, and her husband was a doctor working at, I guess, St. Joseph Hospital in Memphis. And he had a maid hired. And she was working in the house there. And I was down there helping my sister a little bit, visiting with them, and probably playing with my two little nieces. And I just happened to notice this maid going around cleaning up the house. And this scripture came alive to me, because here was Japheth dwelling in the nation that was Shem's descendants, because you see, my brother-in-law is Filipino. And there was a descendant of the other family, was the maid cleaning up around. Exactly fulfilled those scriptures. And so it tells us that Japheth is the nation that's going to be greatly enlarged, the family of people that are going to be greatly enlarged. And we go down to chapter 10, it tells us the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These three boys, these three families. You can call them whatever you want to, but they're each family is distinct and a different people. Now, if that's racist, I'm sorry, because God made them that way. And He made them for His purpose, not your purpose or my purpose. He made it for His purpose. The sons of Japheth were, and if you'll look at these people, you'll find out and look at their religions, you might understand something. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madel, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. And then it goes on and lists the genealogy. So if we look at a little bit of history and a little bit of just a little common horse sense, look at the world, look at the prophesied events from about Gog and Magog. Go back to the origin of Gog and Magog. It mentions Gog here. It mentions Magog. It doesn't mention Gog by name, but it mentions Gomer and these other people are. It's evident which groups of people they are, which families of humanity these people are, and also their background, their religions, the way they have conducted themselves down through world history, and you can see that it matches. Now, a lot of people like that, but, you know, that's not anything unusual. Most people don't like the way God does things anyway. And so that's all I've attempted to do today is take this group of people that are going to cause God and His people a lot of headaches in the future. Three times. The Battle of Armageddon, because, and you can understand it, because these people are on the brink of becoming number one. If you get my message, and they're going to lose it. God's going to establish His kingdom. They're going to want to take it again. And right at the end, God's going to let Satan go out and bring them up again because they still haven't bought into God's program. And so, you know, sometimes people learn after their first mistake. It takes these people at least three mistakes to learn. This has been James Throckmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.